It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing way. The refreshing way.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. It is a blessing to be with you on the Sabbath day. This is the 11th of March. God is so good to us, is he not? We are here together, and we thank God. We're going to be talking about medical missionary work today in our worship and wellness. And at this time, my wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together to have worship. We pray for your spirit to come and abide with us. Teach us this morning the things we need to know. We ask that you would anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us always to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, our opening song is going to be It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you today about medical missionary work. Well, it's a wonderful work. We're going to talk about it at this time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being the great God of wisdom, God of power, God of might, and God of healing, God of truth. We ask that you bless us, help us to interweave healing with truth, that we might touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you about Jesus. That's a good place to start, isn't it? I'm reading to you from Mark chapter 4, verse 24, and before I continue, I want to mention to you that we will not be able to have our church service on today. I'm out of town, and we're just not able to conduct that, but it's good to be together this morning. So pass the word along. We're not going to have church service this morning. We will also not have our broadcast on Monday morning. So we're here today, here tomorrow, not Monday morning. I'll be in flight. All right. God bless you all. Let's get right back to our message. We're going to talk about Jesus. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. So it says that they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases. This is clearly the ability to heal mentally, physically, and spiritually. Some people are sick because they are sin sick. Many people with mental issues, they need healing. And God can heal mental issues as well as physical issues, my friends. And that's what you see in the life of Christ. I want to take you to another scripture. This is Matthew 8, verses 16. Matthew 8, verses 16. And it says, when the even was come, that's the evening, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. So, my friends, Jesus was very active in the work of healing. Amen. Very active in the work of healing. The book Ministry of Healing tells us that he did more healing than he did preaching. What do you see today in various denominations, friends? Now, you have people that will claim to be prophets and want you to come to healing services, and there's a whole lot of music that used to only be played in the club, and people get into a frenzy and they come down and they claim to be healed and slain in the spirit. You have others, you know, that say, well, that prophecy is fulfilled in through the work of modern medicine with the drugs and the vaccines and the radiations and all of those things. We're not against a well-executed surgery when it's necessary, but they would say that these are the methods. Primarily drug medication was the method that is to be used to heal. But guess what? Nobody's getting healed with drugs, so that can't be the method because God actually healed people, my friend. And so, you know, one of the slogans in my book, The Biblical Booster, some of you all know about that, it actually says, as it talks about modern medicine, it says, we need you, therefore we feed you. In other words, we're not against medical doctors. We need them. They have a purpose. Therefore, we feed you. We want you to know how to eat right, because medical doctors, nurses, people in allied healthcare professions have actually gone and gotten wrong education. What do I mean by that? Yes, some of the wrong education was in the class and in the lab, but I'm talking about after class and after lab. You see, if you understand true education, you will understand that you never leave school. everything you look at every moment of the day. You're in class. So when the doctors leave the class in the lab and they go to the vending machines, they're still in class. So those sugar-filled, dairy-filled chocolate bars and whatever else they got out of the vending machine, that formed part of their education. When they went to fast food restaurants, they were still in class. So what they got, all that greasy food, was the part of their education. When they left and went to designated smoking areas to smoke cigarettes and cigars or whatever they do, they were still in class. And so they learned wrong. And so when they came out of class, they can't teach you how to eat a plant-based diet and keep the terrain of your body in an alkaline environment, because they didn't learn how to do that. Friends, if your terrain is an alkaline environment, you are not as susceptible to the onslaught of the inflammation caused by various viruses, or particularly a particular virus and its variant that has plagued the world today. And so this is important. Christ healed all. I have another scripture for you also in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15 says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." What can I tell you, brothers and sisters? Jesus is our example. It says that, I think, is it 1 John 4? Let me just go to 1 John 4, 19. I think that verse actually says we love him because he first loved us. I'm sorry, I need another verse. I'll find it real quickly. Talking about it confirms that Jesus is our example. First John 2:6, it says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." So whatever you see Jesus do, that's what you should be doing. Whatever I see Jesus doing, that's what I should do. So it's very interesting now. We're going to go to the book of Luke, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And this is what it says. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." So what did he give us power and authority to do? To cure diseases and power over all devils. And so, my brothers and sisters, that means that if anybody teaches you can't overcome sin, they're lying to you, because we've been given power and authority over all devils. Well, who are the devils? They're the fallen angels, my friends. And what do? They tempt us. And so temptation leads to sin. If we've got power and authority over all of them, that means there is promised victory over all sin, because it's the demons, the devils, the fallen angels that have been tasked. Some of them want you to lust. Some of them want you to lie. Some of them want you to steal. Some of them want you to kill. It's so interesting. You know, the world, probably, and we know America, has been wrapped. And by the way, just so you know, I called my wife and said, "Honey, I'm down here with the Murdaughs." Because I didn't even realize I'm at a meeting in South Georgia, which is very close. I just crossed over and saw some friends in South Carolina. And to my great pride, they knew the Murdaughs personally and, you know, shared that with me and, you know, told me stories and things of this nature. But the point being made is I'm in that area of the country. I'm right here in that area of the country. So here for some spiritual meetings here. The judge, very calm judge. Some people, we were tempted to think, man, this judge is, you know, not very expressive, but he said some profound things. At the sentencing, Mr. Murdaugh said, "I would never kill my wife and my son," so on and so forth. And, you know, the judge answered and said, I believe you. You wouldn't do it. But he said, the person you become when you take 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 pills, it's that person that did it. But it is the same individual. You are therefore responsible. You know, I love that because, you know, a lot of times, you know, judges at sentencing, they like to flex their muscles and say all these things and call people, you know, names and, you know, just make a scene. And this judge didn't do that. He showed compassion even to the accused, but laid down justice at the same time. That was a beautiful concept there. But the point I'm making is when you sin, there are demons involved. That's all we're trying to say. When you sin, there are demons involved. So if we've been given authority over all of them, there's no excuse for sin. So Murdoch can't say that he had an excuse for any of his sins. We can't say we have excuses for any of our sins because we've been given power and authority over all devils. You know, friends, this is worship and wellness today. We're not going to have two separate, messages. But we need to recognize that. So, you know, when temptation comes, we need to recognize and remember we've got power. And we have to do what Jesus did. He did relied on the word. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that in all points he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so we don't have to be sinning because we're tempted. We don't have to sin. It is a lie. Satan wants you to think that you have to. We just need to call on the Lord, claim his promises, claim his victory, stay in the word, resist temptation. The Bible says resist the devil in James 5, and he will flee from you. And just because, well, I resisted him, he didn't flee. Let me just, so Lord, you didn't answer. No. You got to persevere, brothers and sisters. When we want something, we go after it. That's just human nature. If you see somebody you like, you go after that person, hopefully in a positive way. But the bottom line is what we want, we go after. And see, we need to be like that with Jesus. That's why the Bible says that if we have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, we can remove mountains, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. When you study that, the mustard seed is very small. So people think that if I have faith, tiny bit. That's not what it's saying. It's saying if whatever amount of faith you have, if you lay hold of whatever God has provided, that's what the mustard seed faith did. It says it lays hold in Christ's object lessons of every element necessary for its nutriment and develops a sturdy plant. And so, my brothers and sisters, the Lord will bless us as we just hold on. Don't let go. Be like Jacob, wrestled with God all night. Whatever he has claimed his promises, you need to claim those. He has given promises. We need to claim them. So that's my inspirational addition to the other inspiration that we're talking about. Going back to healing, let's see. We already saw that Jesus was like massively healing people. Okay? Now we go to Luke 9. It says that he called his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over all devils. That's why I took my little detour a little bit to talk about the power we have over temptation. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, the Bible says. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, it says, and to cure diseases. Friends, you don't need a degree to cure diseases. Okay? As a matter of fact, the fastest way to guarantee that you probably don't know how to cure diseases is to go get a degree. And I'm not saying that's in every respect, in every way. But generally speaking, as it is generally taught, in degrees don't help you learn how to be healed. Now you say, okay, well, I got a naturopathic degree. Well, the naturopathic movement is an eclectic movement. That means that they believe that anything that works, we're going to use. But see, they've gone and delved into new age modalities, things that bring demons in your life. And those are modalities that they use as part of what they do. I'm not saying everybody with that degree does that. Neither am I saying that every medical doctor uses drugs in the wrong way. There are some that have walked away from that method as a primary method of treatment. But the bottom line is you as an individual have been given power to cure diseases. You don't have to have a degree. You've been given that power and authority by God, and we have forgotten that. And therefore, we don't apply ourselves. Therefore, we should be training the laity on how to help people reverse diabetes. And we would have individuals in the church be lifestyle coaches and lifestyle counselors, going to their neighbors, friends, family, teaching them the way of the Lord. Friends, I would say if we had taken hold of that, Jesus would have come because it would usher in. God is waiting on us. We hasten his coming. He is so merciful. He can't wait forever, but he is waiting. And it says that he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The kingdom of God, we were talking about this in another lesson, that the gospel, friend, that's the kingdom of God. It's the good news that Jesus is Lord, that he came to save, that we don't have to, that we have power to overcome sin, that we can be forgiven of our sins. The kingdom of God is everything related to the plan of redemption. That's what that's talking about. So he gave them power and authority over all devils. So not only did Jesus go out and heal, the disciples went out and they healed in a powerful way all that were sick. That's powerful, friends. And so now I want to share something with you. And this comes from a book called Medical Ministry. It's page 317. It is a prophecy, and we have yet to see this fulfilled. That means some things are about to happen. I want you to really catch this. Some things are about to happen because we have not seen this fulfilled. It says, we shall see the medical missionary work broadening and deepening at every point of its progress because of the inflowing of hundreds and thousands of streams until the whole earth is covered as the waters cover the sea. I want to read it again. We shall see. That's a prophecy. We shall see the medical missionary work broadening and deepening at every point of its progress because of the inflowing of hundreds and thousands of streams until the whole earth is covered as the waters cover the sea. We haven't seen that, but friends, God says it's going to happen. Will you join? Will you be one of those streams? You know, you have to look at the nature. It's talking about the streams in nature. They could be really, really small. They could be a foot wide. But all those streams, you add them all up, that's what feeds the river. And then you add up all the rivers, and that's what feeds the ocean. Okay? So God is saying that on a small level, that's what we need to focus on. We try to build up the big ocean of medical missionary work. No. Work on the stream, brothers and sisters. And that's what we want to do here at Torso, to teach you how to be a medical missionary work. You are one of those streams. I'm going to read it again. We shall see the medical missionary work broadening and deepening at every point of its progress because of the inflowing of hundreds and thousands of streams until the whole earth is covered as the waters cover the sea. You know, I want to teach you so much about diabetes that you won't call me because you'll know everything I know about diabetes. I can't call him. I know what he knows. That's what it's all about, friends. But when it comes to cancer and arthritis and all these conditions, you need to know. And therefore, as you know, you will be able to help others and share. And if you know about the truth, my friends, you'll develop relationships, and they'll wonder, why do you do this strange thing, worship on Saturday? Then you'll be able to walk them through some things. You'll take them first to the book of Genesis. Why? Because they feel better, and therefore they have confidence in you. And therefore, when you go to Genesis 2 and you read to them, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh, didn't say first, didn't say second, didn't say third, didn't say fourth, didn't say fifth, didn't say sixth, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. Now, you're talking to a person that just got healed of diabetes, just got healed of cancer, their pain is gone, their tumor has shrunk, their thyroid is in a better condition, and or they've overcome COVID when nothing else worked. It says he finished his work on the seventh and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Then you'll read to them verse 3 when they ask you, why do you do this? And it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That means he made this day holy because that in it, that day, he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And they will be open to that. Oh, really? Well, why do we worship on Sunday? Well, I'll tell you that in a moment. But right now, let me take you over to Exodus. Do you believe in the Ten Commandments? Oh, yes. I don't believe in killing, stealing, and all those types of things. And, you know, we believe the Ten Commandments. We see them up in the courtroom sometimes. Well, let me read to you the fourth. That person who was sick that you healed is going to say, you would say that to that person. let me read something to you. Remember the Sabbath day, Jesus said, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, that's the seventh day, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in, that means because in, 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and holiday. So that person who had diabetes, hypertension, and cancer, and lupus, and all these other things, and you heal them, they have confidence in you, but they have questions. They say, well, why does the world, you know, worship on Sunday, and how do we know which day is the Sabbath? You know, we hear these recently happened in a Seventh-day Adventist organization, a school. They had this singer. He came, and he said, you guys worship on Saturday. You know, my God is the God of every day. And he had them repeating certain things. You do Monday, I do Tuesday, whatever. They were just waving their hands and shouting and all of that. How do we know what day is the Sabbath? Let me take you to that medical missionary is going to take them to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And before he does, or she does, that person, that medical missionary might say, listen, what day did Jesus rise? Well, everybody knows he rose on Easter Sunday. Jesus rose on Sunday. Nobody ever questions when Jesus rose. Did you notice that? They question what day is the Sabbath, but they never question what day Jesus rose. And the medical missionary who healed them and helped them and blessed them is able to take them to Matthew 28, verse 1, and it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. So the bottom line is that was resurrection morning, brothers and sisters. And that medical missionary is able to tell that person who is going to be in shock and awe that this is resurrection Sunday morning. The Bible says, not me, the Bible says that's the day after the Sabbath. So the Sabbath has to be Saturday, friend. That's what the medical missionary works. Well, then why do you do this thing on Friday night, you know? And then the medical missionary work, medical missionary rather, is going to take them to another verse. He's going to take them to Mark chapter 1, verse 32, and it says, because they keep the Sabbath from sunset Friday night to sunset Saturday, and that person who was healed doesn't understand that. And so you're going to take them to Mark chapter 1, verse 32. It says, and at even, and if you look it up, even, that meant evening, okay? That's what it meant. Let me just see if I can click on the word, some of these things. Yeah, they have these little, on the computer, little definition. So even means evening, okay? And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them which were possessed with devil, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. You see, my brothers and sisters, God is telling us that the Sabbath begins at sunset. The evening begins at sunset. And then if they needed a second witness to that, you take them to the book of Genesis, and you go to Genesis chapter 1, and you will see every time a new day, for example, in verse 5, the last phrase in verse 5 says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. That was after God made light. And then it's going to tell you that, see, where is the evening and the morning? What's the second day? Yes, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day in verse 8. And then God made dry land and vegetation. And then verse 13, and the evening and the morning was the third day. And then God made the stars, the firmament, the lights in the firmament, and he made the stars, the sun, moon, and stars. And the Bible says the evening and the morning, verse 19, was the fourth day. You could just keep going on. And then you end that chapter after God made man. And when he made man, it says he saw that everything was very good. Friends, when God celebrated his creation. He didn't celebrate the creation after making grass. He didn't celebrate the creation after making dirt. He didn't celebrate creation after making sun, moon, and stars. They're very important. He didn't celebrate creation after making the rivers and the mountains and all those things. He celebrated creation after making this physiological marvel. The human body is a physiological marvel. Mankind is trying to clone mankind. Mankind is trying to genetically alter mankind, and that's what the thing people take in their arms is doing. It is gene therapy. It's that's what it does. And that's why they have to keep studying genomic sequences and stuff like that and taking DNA of people and studying it and all of this kind of thing. The point being made is that we are the crowning act of creation. It was after God made us, or at least our grandparents, Adam and Eve, he said, wow, everything was very good. And he said, I want to spend time with these people. Every week, I'm going to have a special date with them for 24 hours. What a privilege we have. You can't spend 24 hours with somebody you love often. You can't spend 24 hours with somebody you respect. Maybe you respect President Trump. You can't spend 24 hours with him. Maybe you respect President Biden, President Obama, whoever it is. You can't spend 24 hours with him. We can just spend 24 hours with God, putting everything else aside like it's an anniversary. And who would not want to do something like that? Well, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, then they will say, well, how is it that all the world is following Sunday? Well, you can take them to the Word of God, which tells us that a power that would come after pagan Rome in Daniel 7 would think to change times and law. That's Daniel 7:27. You'd have to walk them through Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, as the Bible does in both Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. And then that represents none other than the Roman Catholic Pontiff, the Pope. And this is what Catholics say. This is what you'll read to that person that you healed, my friend. These are all Catholic statements. Sunday is our mark of authority. We're going to talk about the mark of the beast. Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. Do you believe that, friends? Do you believe the church is above the Bible? If you don't believe the church is above the Bible, then when it comes to questions about what you put in your body, whether you put it in here or whether you put it in your arm, you should go to the Bible. You really should. You will find in the Bible that God promised to heal of all even communicable diseases if we would be obedient to him. That's in Exodus 15:26. And you can go to the CDC website and look up smallpox. What did I say? CDC website. Look up smallpox. It will tell you on the CDC website that they found smallpox in the ancient mummies of Egypt. And if smallpox is in the ancient mummies of Egypt, and that is a communicable disease for which people are vaccinated, then that means that God was able to keep man free from communicable diseases. When you study Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy, I forgot exactly where it is, but when a leper was manifesting signs of infection, they did have to hang something from their upper lip. Mad. But guess what? The infected people, not the uninfected people, wore it, and it wasn't something that it just kind of kept, you know, spray from going. It didn't cover keeping all the carbon dioxide, you know, and they've done studies. I've shared this on the broadcast. It was done with anesthesiologists who have to wear masks for a period of hours, and after 2 hours, it does affect your CO2, your carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, sorry, levels do go up. Your oxygen levels go down. Your carbon dioxide goes up after 2 hours. So what they tricked you in doing, there were some fact checkers that actually said that they did a study in Canada and they had people wear masks and then they had them check with the oximeter on their finger and it didn't drop the oxygen. But they didn't do it for 2 hours. You see, people wearing masks for a whole day, going to work the whole day, they got a mask on. So you have to do it for a period of time for it to affect your CO2. Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. This transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. That comes from the Catholic Record of London, Ontario, September 1, 1923. From H.F. Thomas, he was the chancellor of Cardinal Gibbon. He wrote, of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change, talking about Sunday Sabbath, sorry, Saturday Sabbath to Sunday was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. This is what you're going to tell that person who used to have lupus. And then to that person who used to have high blood pressure, but you healed them, you're going to read to them this Catholic statement from James Cardinal Gibbons in the Faith of Our Fathers, 1917 edition, page 72 and 73. Is not every Christian obliged to sanctify Sunday and to abstain on that day from unnecessary servile work? Is not the observance of this law among the most prominent of our sacred duties? But you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. They spell it out. The people that are telling you the truth are the Roman Catholics. But yeah, we changed it because we have the power to do so. But the Bible says they don't have the power to do so. The Bible says if you change my word, you're going to be lost. Okay, it's in the book of Revelation. It's in other places too. But we are to follow scripture, friend, man's word. Let me take you to a scripture that says just that. We're going to Matthew chapter 8. See, this is coming alive to you, friends, and this is the work of medical missionary work. You start with healing, and then you reach people's heart because they like you. They love you because you help them. Matthew chapter 8, let's look at verse 17. It may start with verse 16, and it says, that's not the verse. Give me a second. I'll find it. It's Matthew 15, verse 9. It says, this people, again, verse 8, draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Sunday is a commandment of man. The Catholic Church changed it. It's not in the Bible. God commands us to worship him on Saturday, starting with Friday night to Saturday night, because the evening and the morning, my friend. And so you have to understand that fact. I'm going to read to you another one and to help people understand the people who used to have a low white blood cell count, and now you've got them eating right, and their blood cell count has come up. This is what you can read to them when they say, well, how did Saturday become Sunday as far as the day of worship? This is what the Catholic Church says in the Catholic Virginian, October 3rd, 1947, page 9. The article is To Tell the Truth. For example, nowhere in the Bible do we find that Christ or the apostles ordered that the Sabbath be changed from Saturday to Sunday. We have the commandment of God given to Moses to keep holy the Sabbath day. This is the seventh day of the week, Saturday. Today, most Christians keep Sunday because it has been revealed to us, talking about the Roman Catholic Church, by the Roman Catholic Church outside the Bible. So, my friend, Jesus said, if you're outside the Bible, you're outside of his will. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Okay? You have to decide, who am I going to follow? Am I going to follow the crowd? You know, one of my poems in the book, it says, to follow the crowd is not allowed. And it will help you understand that they will take you and cause you to stray from the King's highway. Friends, we need to follow God. We need to follow his truth. We need to follow his example. And if we do this, that's how this work is going to be finished. It's going to be finished primarily with grassroots witnessing. You, my friend, and God will bless you to get the education and the resources to be one of those streams of the thousands that come in and they feel cause the medical missionary work to broaden and deepen at every point of its progress till the whole earth is filled as the waters cover the sea. If we don't, and so add to that some publications, both on health and on religious topics. And then, friends, you will see that the people will be properly warned. God's people will be in minority because most people don't want to follow Christ. But, oh, friends, I want to sing this song. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It says, the world behind me, the cross before me, though no one join me, still I will follow. Friends, don't you want to follow Jesus? Don't you want to be his? Don't you want the Spirit of the Lord to use you, to fill you, to bless you? Oh, my friends, that's what I want. How about you? God is good. That's our message for today. Let me close this out with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the medical missionary work that will broaden and deepening with the influx of hundreds and thousands of strength. We pray that you bless. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My friends, all of us should do all we can to be a strength and to be a blessing to some strength, to help somebody else get more advanced in this work. Some of us are doing the work, and we can be used to train others. Others of us need to apply what we know and learn all we can. We're striving to facilitate this here at Torso Ministry, and we'll be telling you more about that in the near future. It's time to open up the phone line. We start with roll call, and I see that we have representation from, I think it's Connecticut. Please forgive me, and maybe you can type it if it's not Connecticut. It's either Connecticut or Massachusetts, I believe, and also Virginia. But on the call, we have Delaware and Delaware again. We have Ohio. We have Oklahoma. We have Georgia. We have South Carolina. And we have Missouri. And we're thankful for each one of you. Happy Sabbath to everybody. And if anybody wants to share anything, press star 6. Remember, we're not able to have our church service today, so this has been church today. But we will have the broadcast tomorrow. We will have to not have and skip on Monday. But the Lord is good. Anyone want to share anything? All right. Well, I am going to say happy Sabbath to you. I'm going to turn it over to my wife. If she has any comments, please feel free, and I'm going to ask her then to have our closing prayer, and then we will move on with our final items that we do in this broadcast. Sweetheart.
Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and have worship. We thank you for your word. May we continue, Lord, to study these things out for ourselves as we ask your Spirit to teach us, guide us, lead us, direct, and instruct our lives. We ask that you would bless this Sabbath day, Lord, as you have promised to do for those that are your Sabbath keepers. Help us to be faithful until the end, and help us to be with you when you return. We ask, Lord, for special blessings to be granted to us on this Sabbath day. We ask for spiritual, mental, and physical healing to be given to us, just in the right amount that we need. We ask that you will take care of our financial needs, Lord, as you have promised that every need would be supplied. And we look forward to the time when we can have our open face communication with you. May we do all we can to serve you uprightly. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy kingdom.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord.
Sabbath.